Colossians chapter 4. I want to leave with you today verses 3 and 4. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Here we have the preacher's prayer request. The preacher's prayer request. The apostle has called God's people to the important work of prayer in verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. This was a mark of the early church, that God's people were a people continuing in prayer, and Paul wants that to continue. The church, directly after the ascension, we read concerning it that they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They were all there. It was the mark of the new believers brought in on the day of Pentecost that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. This is public praying. All those things are public that are referred to there in that text in Acts chapter 2. And it was a mark of the apostles and leaders of the church. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And now 30 years later, Paul wants the church to still have that mark. He is especially thinking of corporate praying, of the assembly praying. Obviously, he wants Christians to maintain this in their homes, in their lives, but he's addressing them as a body to continue in prayer. Public praying in church must be maintained. And so verse 2, I would like you to know, is not just a word for the closet, it's a word for the congregation. The Christian church is to continue in prayer. And in verse 3, he then goes on to ask for something to be included in those church prayers. He makes a prayer request. And that's what we're coming to now. This prayer request of Paul the preacher. And this prayer request, we're seeing the heart of the Apostle Paul, aren't we? We're seeing the big burden he carries, the main thing on his mind. We're seeing the kind of man he is and what is really weighing in on his soul. You know, you can tell a man by his burdens. You can tell a person by the weighty things in his or her life. What is he concerned about? Now, I am sure Paul could have given a prayer list. He could have asked for 100 things. He's in prison. He's chained. He could have asked prayer for release, pray for my release from captivity. He could have asked for prayer for his comfort, prayer that his court case would go well, prayer that the thorn in his flesh would go. He could ask for prayer about his health. He could ask for prayer about the coldness. He could ask for prayer about the food. He could ask for prayer for companionship and fellowship. But there is nothing of that. He says, I only want you to focus on one thing for me. For this pray, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now notice it. He's praying for an opening, but not the opening of prison, not the opening of his chains, but for a door of utterance, for opportunity to speak the word. Of course, every Christian man should be most burdened about his calling, his business, his work. We all ought to be burdened about our duty. Every man has a duty. Every man has a calling. And that calling should be a thing upon his heart. And what is Paul? What is his calling? What is his duty? He's a minister. He is a preacher. That's his calling. To Timothy in the first epistle, he said, I am ordained a preacher. That's what I am, he says. To the same young man in his second epistle, shortly before his death, he said, I am appointed a preacher. He's always telling Timothy this. I'm a preacher. That's what I am. That's what I am saved for. That's what I live for. That's what I'll do till I die. I'm a preacher. That was his calling. That's what he is. And it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. That's why I'm saved. That's why I've been put apart from the mother's womb. That's why the Lord gave me those particular gifts, that mindset, right from the womb, that I may preach him. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He is a preacher. And what is the work of a preacher? It is to preach, isn't it? It's to speak. His work is speaking, to declare the word of the Lord, to tell it, to preach the gospel, to declare it in season and out of season. Because that is his calling, that is where his burden lays. And so this is the thing he requests prayer for. You can highlight the following words in verse 3, utterance. And then the verb to speak. Again, verse 4, making it manifest. And then again the verb speak as I ought to speak. This is the work of a preacher. Speaking, utterance, making manifest the mystery of Christ. And every preacher ought to be the same as Paul. Every preacher wants his people, his flock, or I should say God's flock, over which he has been appointed a preacher. Every preacher wants them to pray this for him. This is a preacher's prayer request. Pray that I will have the right message. Pray that God would give me the right words. Pray that the Lord would give utterance and he'd open a door of utterance and he'd give power to speak as I ought. I think that is what the minister wants more than anything else from his congregation in terms of praying for him. It was so with Paul. I don't think any New Testament preacher should be any different. And this is what you should pray for your preacher. And when you pray this for him, you really love the Lord. You really love the Word. You really love your preacher. And you really love your own soul when you pray this for your preacher. Every preacher then can delight in what Paul writes here. Every preacher can say, Amen, Paul. May the Lord make it so. The most important phrase of all is to speak the mystery of Christ. To speak the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the Lord Jesus. It's not just about speaking, you see. I know the verb occurs here a number of times, and yes, it's very important. A preacher is a speaker, but it's not just about talking. Everybody is a talker. Some can talk plenty. There are some people that are more gifted talkers than preachers. It's not just about talking. There are many who have the gift of the gab, as we say, the gift of talking. Not all preachers have that, you know. There are quiet preachers. There are preachers who are not great conversationists. And their calling is not necessarily to be great conversationalists. Their calling is to, in a special manner, and with special gift and special grace, and with special power, to speak the mystery of Christ. That's what a preacher is to do. Paul does not want the gift to entertain and to amuse. He does not want the gift to be a great talker. He does not want the gift to please the palate of men in the kind of conversational tones that men like. He does not want the gift to be a speaker loved and lauded by all, to be looked upon as eloquent. He does not want simply to be a smart, sharp, and quick modern communicator. As one of our faithful ministers, now deceased and with the Lord, said, a slick communicator, a cool speaker. Paul is not that. Read his epistles. He is mighty in word, but nothing slick or cool or modern. Nothing jokey or jesting. He never speaks like a clown. Solid truth. Real meat of the word. All the seriousness and the solemnity that goes with declaring the mystery of Christ. Do you want to know the kind of preacher Paul is? It's all here in the text. It's all revealed. He is showing us his heart and how his heart views his calling. He's asking for utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, to make manifest that glorious person and his wonderful work, to speak about it as he ought, with all reverence, with all authority and Holy Spirit power. He wants to speak, as he puts it, as I ought to speak. Not as people think that he should speak, not in a modern, acceptable way, not in a cool, trivial, jokey way, but as he ought, in the way he ought. Every preacher wants that. Pray that I may speak the way that I should, the way that I must, the way that truly glorifies God, the way that truly does eternal good. I have to point out the expression, for which I am also in bonds. Why does Paul add that? Is he displaying his sufferings? Is he being a little bit proud? Is he looking sympathy and drawing out some compassion for himself? No, no, no. And 1,000 no's. Paul is no such man. He is rattling his chains as proof of something. That God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which, and that's the important expression, for which I am also in bonds. That is, the chains are the proof of the seriousness of how he takes his calling. He doesn't rattle these chains and say, oh, pray that they will come off. They are hurting me. They are confining me. Pray that they will be loosed. That's not why he rattles them. No such thing. He knows God has put them on him for the furtherance of the gospel, for the greater success of Christianity, for the glory of King Jesus. No, he does not point them out that they may be broken, but to show that he has proved thus far a true and sincere speaker of Christ's mystery. I have spoken it, I have preached it, I have proclaimed it, and I am in bonds for that. it has cost him to be a preacher of the mystery. It has cost him his freedom. The cost has been imprisonment and bondage. And the cost will soon be death at the executioner's block. He said the same thing in that other prison epistle in Ephesians 6, verses 18 and 19, a parallel passage, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He's in bonds, but he's still an ambassador, even in bonds. His job hasn't changed. Now that he's in prison, he carries it on. He continues it. He mightn't have as big an audience. He mightn't have as many people to preach to, but he wants to preach still. He is imprisoned as a preacher. And what he's saying is, I'm not for changing. I'm not for changing my subject matter. I'm not for changing the way that I proclaim it. I'm not for changing. The bonds can remain, but pray that I will still speak the same. Pray that I may still speak the way that I ought. Pray that I may still have the boldness. Pray that I may still have the power. Pray that I may have the utterance. This then is his burden. He is a man with a burden. And that burden is speaking the word of God. We love this man, Paul, don't we? This tiny little man, insignificant looking, but mighty in telling the gospel. He's not tiny when it comes to preaching the word. No, he's the kind of man people would walk past in the street without a second glance. Or if he got a second glance, it might be because of the hump in his back, which some have said that he had. In company, Paul wasn't the soul of the party. But you see, in this business of speaking the mystery of Christ, he stood out. He labored in that work. He sharpened himself in that enterprise. All his tools were brought together for that purpose. He so stood out in that business that he got chained for it. He got locked away for it. I remember the accounts that I've read of the eyewitnesses of John Knox. When first seen, he was not that impressive. When seen ascending the pulpit for the first time, for example, by people, the impression that his frame gave was of a feeble man, especially, I suppose, as he got on in years and he had been persecuted and suffered a lot, and it took its toll on his body. And the kind of attitude was, if he was first seen, was, how can this man speak? How can this man preach? How can this man mould a nation? But you see, when he opened his mouth to declare God's word, the atmosphere all changed. And he was like a man who could dash the wood of the pulpit into tiny pieces. He could speak as he ought to speak. He could open his mouth with boldness. He had ability and utterance to declare the mystery of Christ, and he did it with fearlessness. Paul, I will want you to know, is not unique. All the prophets and all the apostles were the same. They were such men. That is why Christianity has spread over the world. Because the prophets and apostles were preachers who were serious. They were preachers who had God's word as a burden in them that they had to get out, that they labored to expound with the gift of the utterance that God the Holy Spirit gave unto them. This is God's appointed way, men and women. You know this, don't you? Don't deride preaching. Don't knock it down. Don't attack it. It has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save. Why does the modern church want to change it? Why is there a drive to modernize preaching, to reduce preaching, to put it within restraints, or to defame a preacher, or deride him in the ears of others, and thus hindering the effectiveness of preaching, which is God's way? And the world is doing that. The world is defaming the preacher. And so we don't want merely homiletical robots who bore people to death with points and not a sharpness in any of them to have any effect on the soul. We don't want preachers who are wiser than the word of God and who speak in such a way as to obscure the glories of Christ. The modern world wants to chip preachers' wings, to take away this utterance, to frown on this boldness, to deride this opening of the mouth, to shorten the preacher's time, burden the preacher with so much else. Did I say the world does that? Maybe even the church would do that on their preacher. To deride the proclaiming of the word by his mouth. To burden the preacher with so much else that he cannot concentrate all his energy on speaking the way this text says the word ought to be spoken. To speak it the way that that text also in Ephesians says it ought to be spoken. That takes time. That takes much effort and labor. That takes attention that must not be distracted by the trivial. So men and women, do not tamper with the pulpit. But this is the will of God. Pray for it. Pray for preachers of fire in it. Pray endlessly for the proclamation of the word. Pray for utterance and for boldness for your poor minister. That's what God wants you to do. You want to know God's will? Here it is today for you. I call this message the preacher's prayer request. I originally had it Paul's prayer request, but I realized he does not stand alone. All preachers stand with him, and all preachers are beside him when he requests this. Not every preacher has chains to show. There are some that have scars and bruises. Some have deep hurts that they can tell you about. But otherwise, maybe not just able to say these chains. But otherwise, all can say this with Paul. I should point out that Paul uses the plural pronoun. That God would open unto us. He doesn't say me. Did you notice that? That he would open unto us a door of utterance. Because he realizes he's not alone. There are other preachers. The Colossians have their preachers. And he's appealing for their prayer for them too. And for all the preachers that will go on down through the generations. The chains are his. Because he says, for which I am also in bonds. I have the chains. I have the imprisonment. I alone am the prisoner. But he is not alone among preachers. He will never be alone in preachers. Because the Lord Jesus will never leave his church without preachers. The law will be preachers. He gives a preacher, the Bible says. He gives preachers till the end of the world. And all of those preachers are in that us. Including your preacher. And the Christian church today in this congregation and in all congregations are called to pray for us preachers. Paul sees them in actual fact and he speaks on their behalf and by inspiration calls the church to this duty until the end of the world. It is most definitely the will of God for you to pray for your preacher. And when you pray for your preacher, you pray this for him. And you pray, when you pray for your preacher, you in actual fact pray for yourself. For you don't pray for him merely, but for the burden of the word that is to be upon his heart. That word might get into your heart. That's what you're praying about. That's why you're praying for him. This isn't a selfish prayer. Paul's not saying, oh, pray that I'll be eloquent, that I'll be a mighty preacher, and everybody will, as it were, have awe in my presence. Nonsense, foolishness, that's not the thing. But in praying for your preacher, you pray for the benefit of your own soul, that his preparation and delivery of the word may powerfully get down into your heart. And that's why you should pray for your preacher. And what is your prayer request to the preacher then? How are you to mirror this? He has unfolded his burden to you. How would you unfold your burden to him? Surely in these words, pray for us. Pray for us that the mystery of Christ would sink down into our hearts. You pray too, preacher, that the word may get into us, that your speaking with Holy Spirit utterance may by that word of God get down into our hearts and purify our hearts and convert our hearts. Pray, preacher, that the word that you deliver to us may sanctify us, and that by that word which you proclaim with boldness, we may be brought comfortably to heaven to be with Jesus Christ, our dear Lord, forever and ever, and together throughout all eternity may praise him to whom be all glory, now and always. Amen.